Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Greetings. Welcome. Welcome to this Thursday. It's like we're like in the middle of July and it's hot and I've got like a fan on me because it's like pointed directly at me because there's like no AC in Malibu. You know, a lot of places that are modest, they don't have AC because, you know, generally by the ocean it's a little bit cooler and, you know, certainly you have a heater and fireplaces because during the winter it can get kind of chilly. But during the summer and all, it's like, you know, you just open up the windows and there's a nice ocean breeze and all. But there are those days when there is no breeze whatsoever, and it's just hot. And guess which kind of days that is today. That's today. Yesterday we had a thunder and lightning and rainstorm that just kind of appeared out of the blue. But the thunder, it was just really coming in and just really, you know, well, it was upsetting the dogs. But it was, there's nothing like it. You can see why. Early man and women, early people, how they, you know, would fear it because it just passes right through you. It just, you know, shakes you to your core. So I can see why it was a big deal. It's still a big deal. I love it. It's like I wish there, you know, were more of them, or I could experience some more thunderstorms. All right. Let's see. Today, my theme is on elasticity, which is like, huh? being elastic, the ability to snap back after, you know, having trouble, trauma, adversity, anything like that. Looking at the cards that have something to say about elasticity. But before I get to that, I do have some announcements to make. And, you know, one of them is that I'm going to be in Bakersfield, California, Saturday, July 21st. I'm going to be at Enchanted Cottage. And that is one of the oldest and best metaphysical stores in that area, and the owners are really wonderful, and they have a beautiful community. And I've had a number of times to go up there and read and do workshops, and this is an opportunity to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and it is about cultivating the unknown. And so, you know, not only is it a talk, you know, it's less of a talk than it is more of an experience, because, you know, how do you talk about something that you don't know about, right? But certainly one can experience aspects of not knowing something and then knowing it, or, you know, not having to know it. Just, where one rests in that energy and navigates it. You know, a lot of our life is like that. And whether we like to admit it or not, or if we're afraid of it, because that happens too. You know, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen, and so I'm worried. I'm worried about, you know, what might happen. And, you know, to recognize that within ourselves and to be able to lessen the effects of it. to, not feel like we have to control every moment, because that gets us back into the same dilemma. Where everything has to be known for us to be, to feel secure, to feel happy. So I don't want to give away the seminar, just like, all the stuff that we're going to talk about, but we'll also do some exercises to introduce ourselves to the unknown and to navigate it. And, when I say navigate it, I think of it more like surfing it. And dude, I live in Malibu, so I know what surfing is. Even though I'm not a surfer, I don't think I've ever surfed, but I get it. I get it. You know, it's like you go out on this ocean that has a life of its own. And, the person who goes out there saying, well, I'm going to control the ocean, they are sadly mistaken. And yet, it's like you bring your part to it. You bring your athleticism and your desire to be one with the whole process of it. And you do your thing. I was with someone the other day, and we were calling that a church out there. It's like the surfers are out there attending church. Oh, it was because there were no waves. It was like a period of calm, and it didn't seem to matter, because they were out there on the water, and it was just like they were in church. And of course, what I mean by that is they're just communing with the divine. And, that kind of mindset, certainly I take that as a reference or a metaphor for, doing the work of the Tarot, where it is a sacred service, that I provide. I take it very seriously, and I am very much in a place of where the connection that I create is everything, to me. It's like, wanting to be of the greatest service there. All right. So I will be there in Bakersfield with this workshop on July 21st. And I will be doing the noon to 2 o'clock, those 2 hours. And then my colleague, Candice Raboyo, she will be doing a workshop titled Connecting with Spirit and the Other Side. And that will be from 3 to 5. And we both will be reading individually during the day. So if anyone wants a private reading, then... the best thing to do is call Enchanted Cottage, and they have the schedule, and they're setting it up. So, yeehaw, can't wait. It's so much fun. And then tomorrow I'm going to be doing a podcast, an Instagram video podcast with my colleague Psychic Bella Love, and I will be talking about healing and giving other spiritual tips, I guess. So basically healing and spirituality. And it's like, what do I know about that? As far as, it's like my Om chant CDs, they're played throughout the world. People use them to connect to their own divine journey. And that's a thing. And I've gotten lots of... people who have contacted me telling me how they've used the Om, the albums for healing, self-healing. And it's very powerful to be able to soothe oneself, to calm oneself, especially if someone has a physical injury and they're needing to just rest and recuperate. It's like, it's not all about, just like getting a Netflix account and, because some programs, they excite you, they can be upsetting. And when your body is in a place of healing, of wanting to heal, sometimes the best energy for that is positive, soothing, universal energy. The Om is it's the sound of the universe, and it's very, very powerful. It's very blessed, and so my albums are a reflection of that, and they are heard throughout the world, millions of people, and that's not an exaggeration. It's the truth. All right. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com. It has both my tarot schedule and my Om Chant albums. All right. So this idea of elasticity, elasticity, being able to be stretched and then to snap back. I think that a lot of times we're challenged by our own desire to love. All right, I remember as a young man, almost like falling in love like once a week or so, and being devastated sometimes by the people that I would pursue. And it's like a young person, a teenager, they have kind of less going for them as far as hey, let's go out sometime. It's like, I'll have my parents pick you up, or it's like have your parents drop you off, and that can be a little less enticing. And and where I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, it was like in the winter it'd be like 80 below. Okay, I exaggerate a little bit. It wasn't quite 80 below, but it would be cold. And I'm trying to think of like the outdoor malls that we had, or they're mostly outdoor malls. I'm trying to think of the indoor ones. They weren't anything to write home about. So anyway, I'm not trying to make excuses for not going out on dates and all that. It's just the intensity that one puts into relationships as far as like loving someone deeply. And then if things don't work out, it's like then dealing with the intensity of either a letdown or being demolished. I remember being demolished a few times by people I thought I had to have in my life. And the ability to just stay in that place of being demolished, or just to heal, to come to a place of knowing that I'll try again, right? It's like if at first you don't succeed, then try again. That old saying that speaks to the heart of persistence and one's own success. Because who amongst us goes out and makes a conquest on our very first try? It's like I can't think of anyone. It's just persistence and stick-to-itiveness. And that is a word, stick-to-itiveness. No, what did I say? Stick to it with itness. Oh, Jesus. Let's just stay with stick to itiveness. So with the tarot, and looking to see, when people, when they extend themselves to a point of where, they potentially break, and can one be fixed? It's like, just in the last couple months, I've had some people come with really, really heavy issues, and You know, it's like usually the heaviest of them all is death. And when someone dies, that is a loved one or so. And you know, that can like break someone or stretch someone to the point of breaking where it feels like they won't ever heal from it. And yet, you know, I can see from my vantage point where there is like that possibility that small seed of regrowth there, of being able to come back. You know, I'm reminded of when I went to Hiroshima, the city that was had the nuclear bomb dropped on it in 45, on my birthday, August 6th. And you go through this memorial through, you know, seeing the photos and the films of a vibrant city and all, and then, you know, boom, the bomb hits, and then all of a sudden it's just decimated, and it's just turned into this inferno, and it's you have 100,000 people die pretty quickly and horribly. And you know, it's like the city is reduced to rubble, and it's just like completely devastated. And at the very like last part of the experience of the tour, they have this photo on the wall, and it's all it's like you can see the rubble in the background. It's gray. It's just been clobbered, and in the foreground is this tiny plant. This green, you know, flower that's starting to come up. And I'm reminded that, you know, when we're decimated by our own feelings and our own expectations, that which we build up within ourself, and when we're you know, get to that point of where things are not going as planned, as hoped, that, you know, all is not lost. All is not lost. And sure enough, when I was young, you know, it's like I'd be in my doldrums there, and then you know, it's like the next day or something, I'd like run into someone that, you know, would spark my interest, and I'd be like, hey, you know, it's like you know, you forget about the failures, or you know, put them away in a, I guess, in a box, right? Or a place within ourselves. I guess it's called compartmentalizing within ourselves, where, you know, we look at it and we just have it as reference. You know, I like to tell people that, you know, some relationships are just practice. You know, that you know, we don't always succeed or go to a deep level with everyone that we're interested in. You know, some people they feel like they're a how do I say this without it making it sound like, you know, like, because there's like the song "I'm Not Your Stepping Stone," you know, but sometimes it feels like you know, one thing leads to another. You know, because none of us are masters of relationships. None of us have the wherewithal, that genius to just make everything work like right out of the gate. It's a learned thing, and some of us never learn. Some of us never take the lessons to heart, and it feels like, you know, age is not a thing. It's just how we integrate our wisdom. But, you know, we can be 90 years old and not have a clue as to how to make a good relationship or a relationship work with someone. Like in the tarot, you know, one of the cards that I was thinking about in this realm of elasticity is the nine of wands, the card of standing resolute, of knowing all of the battles that you've gone through, that you've fought. You know, some you've won, some you've lost. You know, it feels like you've gotten beaten up in life a bit. In the Rider Waite, you can see the person with the bandage across their head, and you know, it looks like, you know, you've been going at it pretty hot and heavy, and not all battles are ones that you win. Some you get the crap knocked out of you. And yet it's a card of not giving up, of staying persistent, of holding your ground, knowing that, you know, you're accumulating wisdom, that you're not going backwards in life. And I feel that's certainly important with these cards that show, you know, kind of can show us where we're at, so that we don't come to that point of where our own elasticity gives in, where we give up and say, screw it, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, whether it's a relationship that you're looking to create, or a career, or another goal that you're, you know, wanting to make manifest. It's like a card of not giving up. The first card that I picked, and it's one that is also the most devastating to look at, because it's troubling. You know, it's like the Ten of Swords. You know, I look at that card when it comes up, when someone picks it, because their face usually drops and go, what? This is part of my future? And I just laugh sometimes, because for me it's a card of remaining flexible. Certainly doesn't look like the person is flexible, because they're laying face down on the ground, or they're planted there with these ten swords in their back. See, I'm laughing now, and I probably shouldn't be, just because of the graphic nature of the card. But the swords, they represent the mind, and our mind, you know, once it gets set. Once we're like, you know, in a place of, you know, or you know, this is what I'm gonna do, by golly, and that's it. You know, it's like it can keep us stuck. It can keep us in a place where, you know, we're not making any progress. You know, but the mind, it likes to know. It likes to be comfortable. It likes to, you know, feel like it's on top of things. And so this card is, it shows us, it's a reminder that we can fool ourselves. You know, especially if we know deep down that we're not making progress, but we're just like doing the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, it has that real visceral image to shake us up, to, you know, to shake us out of ourself. And at the core of it is that lesson of looking to be able to see how we're holding ourselves in a holding pattern, in a where we're keeping ourselves stuck. You know, we're in a rut, and it's like, how can we start pulling those swords out? And if you look at it as the sword being a part of the mind, then we can start to you know, recognize that we need to kind of change our viewpoint, our perspective. Start pulling some of the swords out, get up, and start making progress again. And so flexibility, I see it as a card of being flexible in our mind, you know, having an open mind, so that we don't get stuck. And you know, again, with that idea of elasticity, where we look to snap back. You know, it's like, you know, again, I'm reminded of myself in certain periods of life where, you know, I've been convinced that, you know, something is over, or it can't ever happen. And you know, it's a hard place to be in. It's a real down place. And you know, over time, it's like that little seed starts to of hope. It's just a sprout, grow back, and one is allowed a place to you know, start growing again, and start you know, coming back from a place of hopelessness. In that respect, you know, it's like I pulled like the Two of Cups, you know, to look at, because the Two of Cups is, it's a card where you have two people, and they're toasting each other, they're facing each other with their cups, and you know, it's like relationships. It's a card of how, you know, we open up to others, to heal ourselves, to you know, heal someone else, how our relationships and what we are able to do for each other, you know, this is why we're alive. You know, we're alive to be part of our own purpose as an individual. But that usually reflects in how we operate in the world, and what it means to be in relationship with the world. Even an artist, you know, who's like just painting on their own or whatever, it's like at some point, it's like they're going to share that with someone, and that will open up something within someone else. You know, has that potential to you know, open up this sharing, create a relationship, and if we're able to bring about healing within ourselves, healing within others, a spiritual connection with others, a connection that opens up someone to their own divine self. I mean, these are like amazing vehicles, you know, or it's a pretty great way to you know, be able to use your life to do this with others. There's a couple others. Then I had a question or two to ask the cards in regards to this idea of elasticity. And the Six of Pentacles, that's kind of a classic card of give and take. You know, it's like the two beggars that are in front of the person who is giving them money. And you know, when you look at that card, it's like, you know, what position are you in? Are you the person who is, you know, giving money? Are you the person who is on their knees seeking assistance? And you know, when it comes in the reading, it's usually you know, where, like in relationships, it's usually where the person who's reading, they're usually ones who are always giving, you know, they're the ones who are giving, and never asking for anything in return, you know, from. But that has a consequence, you know, to when that happens, because the, you know, it's like resentment starts to come in, and they don't feel like they're being valued, and so it's not enough just to give. It sounds very philanthropic and like it's a beautiful thing, but because of our own, I would say for the vast majority of us, unless there's someone who comes in and it's like their karma to, you know, be completely at of service, you know, I think that most of nature, it has a lesson of balance within, you know, all living beings and all ecosystems. You know, there can't be just people who take, and then, you know, people who just give. It's like there's revolt from that. And even with, you know, just the physical aspects of nourishment and all. It's like you can't just, you know, take without giving back. You know, in the case of humans and all that you know, take up a lot of resources, it's like, what are we giving back? And it's like, you know, we better figure this out. You know, because, I mean, I laugh now, but I'm not laughing, you know, because of the, it's hilarious. I'm laughing out of like horror that, you know, it's like the world is finite in what it has to offer physically. It's like, my wife, she, has been cultivating butterflies and they eat milkweed and it only takes about 3 or 4 caterpillars to just devour, and I mean devour, a big plant of milkweed. And you know, they're like locusts. They're these chubby caterpillars that are just happy as can be, and they just like you know, like a dot matrix printer, they're just on these leaves that, you know, they're just munching down on them. And you know, if there's like, you know, more caterpillars than milkweed, then they're going to be suffering, because again, it doesn't take many just to like bring a whole plant just down to nothing. There's like no leaves, and then they start eating the stems, and you know, there's just a stick poking out of the dirt, and it's like, okay, now what? So they're a hungry bunch, and so, you know, the idea of balance then is, you know, to you know, give back. And again, the person who gives, it's like they'll get depleted. They'll be depleted, and they won't be able to sustain themselves. And so it's important, again, looking at the Six of Pentacles, to recognize that it's okay to receive. as well, and to get back and to balance your own self out, so that you're not in a place of fully being kind of taken out of the picture there. Let's see if I have one more card. I actually like both of these cards because of the idea of again elasticity, of coming back after being wounded or something of the Hierophant in the Wizard's Tarot is the wounded healer. And certainly anyone who has been wounded, they have the need to just kind of pull away, pull back, hide out, whatever, and heal, to do their thing where they're not like feel like they're exposed to further danger or so. It's like the person who has a hurt leg or something, doesn't want to be out there in crowds, and because people will bump into you and all, and it just your healing will not take place in that kind of environment. So with the Hierophant, it's in the Wizard's Tarot, he is symbolized by Chiron, and Chiron the immortal centaur was wounded by a poisoned arrow by Heracles, and he was hurt. He's in a lot of pain, but he instead of hoarding the knowledge of all these elixirs and medications that he was like scouring the world for, instead of like holding on to that, he became a teacher and looked to share that with others. And so, taking something that could have been like completely debilitating and, something to gripe about and complain and, to be in a negative mindset, it's like, converting that into something that is of service to everyone. And that can help soothe the person as well. I know a lot of people who have had physical injuries that instead of them becoming bitter and embittered by life, it's like they become healers, they become teachers. Because they've had to learn ways to take their own pain, their own suffering, and to and not let it rule their life. It's certainly a part of their life, the part of their story, and it gives weight to what it is that they're talking about, as far as like the need of healing, but it certainly doesn't overrun their life. And lastly the tower comes up, which that's that energy of where almost like the nuclear bomb that hits and reduces everything to a rubble in your life. Anything that's built on, let's say, falsity, or anything that is untrue, that it can no longer stand up in its own weight. It has to fall, and it can be devastating. But that lightning is also that enlightenment, that knowing, that truthful spark that everything from that point on can start to be built on, and one can raise that tower again, but on on truthful ground. And so that idea of elasticity, of being able to not be demolished, to be, completely wiped out by, either our own desires or a life situation. It's quite important to see when it is that we're able to, make a comeback. To make a comeback and not get feel like our life is over. All right, so I'm gonna answer a question here. And did I write the question? Yes, I did. But I'm not gonna put in the cards that I just talked about, because that would be cheating, right? And I don't want to cheat. No, I don't know why it'd be cheating. It just seems like I would just have to talk about that card too, in the kind of a similar context. All right. So the question, it's about getting to the point of no return. It's like, oh God, my own handwriting. Where one can no longer snap back. As far as, is there a point? Is there a point where someone just calls it quits? Especially, in the areas of relationships, of love. And, I do hear it from people where they feel like they have extended themselves one too many times, and they're no longer able to do it. Just can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. I'm over it. And I just want to look at the energy of that to see if we're, tricking ourselves, if we're thinking, oh, you know what, if I give up, then that's when it happens. That seems to be a popular idea, a popular meme out there. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We think about the Hollywood actor or actress who's like, they're fed up, they can't get any jobs, and so they're on the at the bus station, they're leaving Hollywood, they're going back home, and then that's when an agent is getting off the bus coming back to Los Angeles and sees them and says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a break." That's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. Although, opportunities arise because, we usually, if we step into them, if we give voice to them, if people know that we are who we say we are. If I tell people I am a tarot wizard, then people know to hire me for an event. If someone just kind of hides that, if they just hold it to themselves and say, you know what, if the universe really wanted to, make me this person, then it will. It's like, good luck. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. It takes you willing to put yourself out there. All right, so we're looking at this question of where we get to a point of no return, where we're just no longer able to snap back. Is that a thing? Or does life always find a possibility? All right, I'm gonna pick two cards for now, just to see. That's interesting. That's interesting. The Four of Swords comes up. And, you know, the Four of Swords, it follows the Three of Swords, which is that other wonderful looking card with the heart that has three swords stabbing it. And, you know, it's a card of heartache, right? It's a card of where, you know, one has like so much like trouble that certainly that could be, you know, like where one loses their faith in themselves to move on. But the Four is a card of recharging. It's a card of looking to have peace, you know, after this momentous battle of having one's heart upset. And, you know, can one have like enough of a recharge session to be able to then go back into it? I mean, that's the question, right? Well, we'll see what the other cards have to say about it. But I mean, this card is definitely one of taking time to heal oneself and not, you know, just keep being in the battle where, you know, you're just taking more swords in the heart. But pulling back, retreating, taking a vacation, you know, sometimes it's a vacation from yourself, and to heal and to cultivate peace of mind. You know, I see that card too as a card of meditation, of active meditation, where one just goes with himself and you know, goes on a walk, you know, a long walk on the beach, or, you know, it can be a solitary thing. I mean, it does look like it's a solitary thing, so that one is not, you know, feeling like they have to entertain someone else in the process there. Oh boy, I'm just looking at the second card there, and it's the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups. And that is a really interesting card because it's one of where, you know, one leaves a place of that which is known. You know, I usually boil it down to a card of where one leaves their comfort zone. And, you know, what's really interesting about that card is that, you know, one is kind of turning their back on, you know, perhaps these things that are known, that are perhaps creating a like reminders, creating reminders of any kind of pain that one is in. You know, I think of, you know, perhaps like someone like a widower, right? Someone a man who's lost his wife, and he's living in their home. There's pictures of her all around, and he, you know, by being in that environment, one stays cocooned in a place of sorrow. You know, it's like that which I am missing most is constantly there in front of me, and it's in a form that, you know, it's not the person, but it's a reminder that the person is existed, that they're in my heart, but they are no longer there in person. And so how I see this card, it's like one making a choice to leave that environment, to make a pilgrimage of sorts that would allow for them to start gaining new experiences and you know, detaching from a place that keeps triggering or signaling a certain feeling, you know. And I've had like moments where in my life where, you know, relationships that haven't worked out, and, you know, with the memory of that person, it's not that, you know, anyone's a bad person or anything like that. It's just that if you start to go down that rabbit hole of remembering, you know, good memories with them and all, it's like it can start to suck you in. It can take you into this bittersweet place, and where you're actually feeling a certain way, and it's like, okay, you know, if you recognize that, you can like say, you know what, I don't want to go there. You know, I've done it enough to where I know that if I, you know, keep going into that place, I'm just going to be bummed out the whole day. You know, so one can do it by doing that, you know, by disassociating that way. But again, I'm asking the question, you know, is there a point of no return? You know, where one can no longer, you know, just snap back. And it's interesting that these two cards, they indicate that there's not like a definite point of that, like of just where one can cut themselves off. Because even though, like the Eight of Cups, like one is leaving, it's like it's not that they're leaving something behind for good. In some ways, I feel that, you know, one takes a break from it. It's like, you know, because it's like with the Cups again. That's the attachments, and you know, it can be family. You know, where one takes a break from family, but they're not looking to cut them out entirely. All right, we're going to pull one more card here. Wow, that's heavy. The Death card. The point, that is certainly a point of no return. Wow. All right. I'm gonna say that with that card kind of being the finality of it. You know, again, it's like, the energy of these cards, especially those last two, you know, because it's, what's interesting about the Eight of Cups is that it too is a death card. It can symbolize someone dying. And, you know, I guess there's a couple ways to look at it as far as, you know, if one dies, you know, then there's that finality, and then there is no snapping back. You know, that's just it. That's done. And on a more metaphysical level, the realm of transformation, of where one changes up energy. You know, because I can see where where a perception, a situation where it can take on a life of its own. You know, where people, like in the instance of where, you know, someone breaks up with another, and you know, they're able to look at the other's progress in life and see that, you know, because you're no longer in their life, that they've met someone that just really opened up their life. You know, it's like, and I've seen that in my own life, and it's just like it's quite beautiful, you know, to see that, even though I thought I may have been the person to have been the one, it's like there was another one who was very much the one, and like gave them like an incredible life. And that's part of that transformative energy of the death card, the butterfly, you know, where one can, you know, go into a cocoon state again, you know, where they've been kind of cracked open a little bit. They've been pushed out of their comfort zone, and it, you know, takes you to an even better place. Even though at the time that it's happening, it's like you just want to curl up in a ball and die. And you know, again, I look at the three cards there. The progression. It's almost like the Four of Swords is where, you know, the person's just kind of wiped out by the situation. They need to rest. And then the Eight of Cups, they get up and say, you know what, I'm gonna take myself out of this environment that, you know, has kept me, that keeps me in this constant place of reminding myself of what it is I don't have. And by allowing that, it's like, you know, opening up an adventure, a new identity that is even better than what one had in mind before. And it just kind of like open them up enough to kind of kick them in the butt and get them on that path, you know, towards this place of being better. You know, is there loss, right? With kind of both death cards there, is there a, do we lose a part of ourselves? Do we shed a part of our identity, you know, that maybe we're ready to shed it? I would say yes. I would say yes. I would say that, you know, that at t over time we're able to change things up for ourselves. So, again, going back to that original question about, you know, getting to the point of no return, where one no longer can snap back, I would say no, as far as it doesn't just like stop for us, where we can't, that aspect of elasticity. It's like it not only snaps back, but it like has that potential to take us to a new level, and to, you know, to better ourselves. All right. I hope this is of service. I have a class tonight, a tarot class at the Vortex in Moore Park, and I have to go to that and make sure that I cross Los Angeles safe and sound, because, you know, the traffic at 5 o'clock is something else in Los Angeles, as you can imagine. All right. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com, and it has my tarot reading schedule and also my Om chant albums. I think I'm going to be doing a radio show tomorrow with Tara Sutphen and Tara Sutphen's Transformations, which is from 9 to 10 at contacttalkradio.com. And then I'll be doing the Instagram program, the live video with Psychic Bella Love. Psychic and Bella, B-E-L-L-A, Love. Look that up. That'll be like 1 o'clock Pacific time. And then Saturday I'll be in Bakersfield. And next week is a psychic fair at the Green Man. So that's exciting. Lots of psychics there just ready to do all these mini readings and all for everyone. Anyway. Thank you so much for listening to Wizard Talk, and I'll be back next week, and many blessings.